So I just want to say, I was talking to Belinda at the break and she asked me a really cool question, and she said, do you remember back when you first started in business and what that was like? And it was funny because I actually couldn't remember back to when I first went into business and had all this information. Well, actually, you know what? I didn't have any of this information thrown at me because I didn't have a group. I didn't have Gordon. I didn't have Paul. I didn't have anybody to even tell me what to get stressed about. So it was just like, wow. And after Paul's presentation as well, that website that he showed, I had a similar one for my hearing business, and it cost me $6,000 without any ongoing support. So, yeah, just sign up. That's all I can say about that. Far out. I'm going to skip to, before I do this, just to who I am, because I've spoken to some of you, but I don't think I've really told you about my story. This is all the stuff that I was doing in my spare time. But to cut a long story short, I've been in business since I was 16. I started a business in high school making gift cards. And then that kind of got me into running businesses. And I liked the idea of having passive income and becoming financially free, which is what I think at the back of our minds, what we all aim for. So I went down this journey. I love creating stuff and just, you know, you create some stuff and people pay you money for it. I mean, how cool is that? Magical. So about 12 years ago, I started my audiology business. And I'm from Melbourne. I moved down to Hobart, bought a little single clinician business, so enough work for one clinician. I purchased this business for my husband and myself, so there were two of us. So immediately we were going, oh my God, how are we going to create enough customers for both of us to work clinically? We had four staff members when we purchased that business. So we had about 6 months of not being paid because all the money that came in went to rent and it went to paying for staff members. So when we went down to Hobart, there was a massive need for basically two young punks who knew what they were doing and who were ready to take some risk in marketing to really exploit that market in Tasmania. And I realise I'm being videotaped, so I've got to be careful what I say. So we went down there and we just basically, I just thought, okay, I'm going to grow this. It's a massive market. And I grew that business to from one clinic with one clinician to a seven-site business. So we had seven clinics across Tassie. I did that within 3 years. And then I got pregnant. So I thought, oh, my gosh. And those of you that are mums and those of you that are not might know that you know, that kind of tension of, well, yeah, I'm earning heaps of money and I've got this lifestyle and career, but I also want to be home. So when I was growing up in Hong Kong, my parents worked all the time, so I never really saw them. And so one of my values is that family is really important. If I was going to have kids, I want to be able to spend time with them. So that got me thinking about, okay, well, how am I going to manage seven shops across Tassie? You know, we had, I think, about 10, 15 staff members at the time and still keep it running and going and all that. So I decided that I could reinvent my whole business and redesign it, create systems and strategies and really empower my staff so that I could actually keep running and owning the business but actually not go to work. So I created basically the 3-hour work week for myself. So I would go in on a Thursday morning every week. I'll do the pay. So I paid out money. That's all I did because I didn't trust anyone. So I paid out the pays and I paid out the bills, and that's pretty much all I did. And then I did coaching on the side for my staff because I realized that investing in your people is the most important thing to help you grow your business. So that's basically why I'm standing here talking to you guys today. Gordon approached me a couple of months ago and we kind of had chats about how do we get the graduates out and up and running, you know, what are the major blocks that they have. And I've been listening in to conversations with you guys, kind of spying a little bit, and also from the NLP side as well, and common themes started to come up. So in my spare time for fun, I'm a business coach and a strategist. And I started to notice the same kind of themes and challenges that comes up when people start off their businesses. So, you know, I'd be interested to hear some of you guys, like the biggest kind of blockages that you guys have right now, because you've had so much information thrown at you today. And whilst it's exciting, it can also be too much. So I just want to get an idea as to how you guys are feeling.
Okay, cool. So anyone got any ideas that come kind of front of mind now after today? Yeah? Yeah, where do you start? Yeah, cool. Anyone else? Yeah, but I mean, that website's amazing. So, yeah, I think like when he said how much it was, I was like, oh my God, just do it. Just do it, honestly. Okay, so let me go through a little bit about what Gordon and I had discussed in terms of what will really help you guys. So what we've done is created an online course with group coaching with myself. And I'm hoping to have them every Tuesday night. They are spaced out weekly or fortnightly depending on what we're working on. So what I've basically done is thought about as a new business, all the stuff that you're going to need, so to create a structure and to basically, you know, teach you, well, where do we start? So firstly, one of the main things that I see as a business coach and just talking to new startups is that they never have a business plan that include a financial component to it. So we talked today a little bit about how much do we price ourselves. And again, it is about your cost. So if you're going to work from home, your costs are going to be lower. If you're going to hire a room, your costs are going to be higher. So the pricing of yourself is less about how much you think someone will pay than, well, what are your costs? And if you think, okay, I can't charge $300 an hour, then look at your costs and don't go and hire a room for a week. Start smaller. The other side to this that most people I find don't really think about is their own personal goals. So when I talk to people and they say, oh, I want to go into business to help people and these are the groups of people I want to help, they don't often tell me why they're going into business for themselves. So, and it's almost like the whole PR piece of, oh, I shouldn't talk about money. You don't have to talk about it with everybody. It's a good idea to talk about that with your coach or even with yourself. So you need to know why you're going to business, because if it's just about going out to help someone, you can help someone working for somebody else. So there is kind of like the hidden goal of why you want to go into business that is financial. So we do a little bit of that as well when we work our business plan. I totally agree with Gordon, like don't go and quit your jobs and start day one unless, you know, you've got money in the bank and, you know, you can pay your rent or, you know, have that first 6 to 12 months where you can pay for your outgoings. You want to leverage. So you want to say, okay, if I was going to drop one day off work, how many clients would I need for me to be able to afford that? So that those are the kind of thinking that you need to train yourself into thinking rather than just going, oh, I'm going to set up a business. So we cover that. And then we're going to do a basic understanding of social media. So for me, I think, you know, there's so much to manage. There's the SEO and the website side of things and blogs and things like that. So it's really teaching you guys how to leverage and multitask and use the material across different platforms. Personally, I probably only get good at one or two social media platforms rather than being everywhere because you don't have time to do it. So I think for hypnotherapists, I think Facebook's really good and also YouTube. And Paul's nodding, that's good. you know, things like Instagram. I've seen some really clever stuff on Instagram, but at the moment, depending on who you're working with, it's probably not the platform, you know, for your demographic, and it's really hard to convey, you know, visually what you guys are doing. We cover business names and social media pages. So one of the things that I find is business names. People check the registration of business. I think I did a video about this on Facebook. They check the business name, registration, they check the domain names, and they forget to check Instagram, Facebook. Is that name available? Because you want it all the same. So you don't want to have to then go, oh, I've registered my domain, registered my business, go to Facebook and it's gone. So check all those things as well. And then finding your niche market and target market, and then developing a sales funnel. So what Paul said earlier today about the sales funnel, that it's basically marketing for, you know, for all parts of your business. So you should be thinking about your business with that formula that Paul's got, creating a need or desire. So making sure that what you're offering does answer a need that somebody has, that you are building trust and credibility. And then what was the last piece? Value, yeah, creating value. So I did a video here at, for the NLP course about the sales funnels. Gordon, is that it? So I think we're going to make that available. Brigitte's on it. Yeah. So there's a lot about sales funnels there. The other thing that I encourage you guys to think about beyond the one-on-one hypnosis that you provide is what else can you provide that creates passive income. So, you know, you want to start thinking, okay, what else could I provide here? Is it a book? Is it, you know, maybe some sort of online course? So you're trying to create a whole portfolio of products and services that it complements what you're doing as well, because you want to keep growing the market. So, you know, compared to someone who just does one-on-one hypnosis, you have more material to provide to your clients and you can potentially charge for that. They're also a way of getting new customers in a very risk or low risk way. So for example, if you had, you know, I don't know, like an ebook or workbook that might be $20, you know, in terms of the sales funnel, it's really easy to grab those customers and as they read your book, they get to know you, they get to trust you, they may subscribe to your YouTube channel, and that then leads them into, okay, I'm going to book a session for $300 now. And you're building your credibility as well. So it's not just a case of I'm doing one-on-one. And for those of you that, you know, are going for the passive income, that's a good way to start building that as well. What else are we going to do? We're going to create a marketing plan. So I'm a big one for free marketing. I know, Paul's like smiling. I love the fact that you can go and find customers just based on how you present yourself or how you are passionate about what you do. So to give you an example, so I'm kind of semi-retired, but I like to do stuff. So I've got a photography business and I do the business coaching as well. I don't have a website. All I have is Facebook. I don't even have a website for my photographic business. It's all word of mouth. And I love that when people just find me because they've seen a Facebook Live or someone shared my photos that I took of someone. I just think, oh, this is amazing. You know, I will get a website and Paul might have to do my website. but I just love that. You can just create that buzz just by what you do and being kind of in people's faces all the time. And so we teach you a little bit of that as well. And then it's super important to then have the promotional materials for your business like business cards and leaflets. Don't discount the referral side of things. So talking to hairdressers or, you know, thinking about with your target market, who are the people that also sees my customers and how is what I'm offering going to help them, you know, help them do their job better. So, you know, if you're going through the medical model, then, you know, talking to doctors about what you're doing, because they could be prescribing drugs and still not getting anywhere. They're the people you need to be talking to, but make it really easy for them to refer. So whether that's, I don't know, having an online referral pad, having a link to your website, having information booklets that they can give out that's about your services. So, for example, I'll use the example of hearing because that's what I'm clearly used to. We used to have a display shelves for brochures, but we didn't just have one brochure for our clinic. We had one for kids' hearing. We had one for tinnitus. wax removal. So I'm actually making the job of the GP easier. So someone goes in with heavy wax and go, what do I do? You know, so instead of them going, oh, we'll just go and get some drops from the chemist, and doctors hate to remove wax, I've done the booklet for them. So they just hand it to them, and then it's got my details down the bottom. And so, you know, just really thinking about how can I make somebody else's life easier. And, you know, if they're going to refer to you, then that's what you need to be thinking about. And that didn't cost a lot to produce. So thinking about free promotional materials for people to refer to you. Yep. And then also like learning networking skills. So what did you notice about Paul's presentation that really got you on board? What time? Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. So, and what did you notice that was different? He's smiling. What's noticed that was different from the videos that you saw that Gordon showed? Yeah, it's confidence and natural and passion. So one of the things that I notice about videos, and I know you all laughed at the videos, but I can tell you as someone who goes on Facebook Live all the time, it's not funny, because if I stuck a camera in front of your face now, could you do any better? So one of the things that I'm really keen to get you guys doing is to actually practice Facebook Lives and having the camera in front of you talking about what you do. And that requires a bit of planning. So you kind of have to know what your story is. I mean, it's not just, oh, I'm a hypnotherapist and I want to help people, blah, blah. That's kind of boring. You want to have to, you need to know why you're doing what you do, why you got into it, and who you're going to help, and why you're passionate about it. And you've got to practice doing that so much that it sounds natural. So one of the things that we'll do is literally a Facebook Live bootcamp, where you just go on live within your own little group so nobody else has to see it, and just getting you just totally confident in front of a camera that you can then just go on and talk about anything. And that's really good in the space of creating content, because now when I walk around and, you know, I may have a conversation with someone at the shops, I might have a conversation with you guys, or I might have just come off a coaching session and there's a theme, I can just pull out my camera, do a Facebook Live, whoever sees it, you know, tomorrow I've seen a few. I don't even know who's watching it. Gordon shared a few of my Facebook Lives, you know, that boost up people watching my live. They have no idea who I am. And then I can get that transcribed, and that can become my blog post. So you're always repurposing everything that you're doing. So Facebook Live is one of those things that I think is super important as an entrepreneur. Some people will say, I don't want to get in front of a camera, but I think in the space where you are your business, you're offering a service, is super important that you need to actually market yourself. Because how is your hypnotherapy clinic different to all the other ones out there? It's you. So get used to getting your photo taken, you know, having going on Facebook Live. It's just one of those things, you know, that you need to do. So networking as well, knowing your story, and there is structure around to how you develop your story. You should be able to just get up and tell your story at networking. You've got 5 minutes. So I don't know how many of you have been to business networking events. Yeah, a few nods, falling asleep. So you want to be the person who's interesting, right? Did you notice Paul's story? What did you notice about it? It was interesting because his logo, he's a tech guy. It's a funny story. It's something that you remember. I'm never going to forget his company name now, right? It's such a great story. So compare that to someone who stands up and go, hi, I'm John from IT for you or whatever. I'm not going to remember that. So, yeah, it's just thinking about how you can create a personalized story around your name. As an example, my blog's called Mummy Dinosaur, and my story is that my kids and I were watching Ice Age 4 or something like that. So Bianca, my eldest, she was really young, and the Mummy Dinosaur came on to scare all the other creatures, and I got a bit worried that it wasn't age appropriate, she was going to get scared. I go, oh, look, there's a Mummy Dinosaur protecting her babies, blah, blah, blah. So my daughter started calling me Mummy Dinosaur. And then a few years later, I decided to start a blog for mums. And I thought, what am I going to call this thing? And then I thought, well, I'm just going to call myself the Mummy Dinosaur, because I had my first child when I was 36. So I'm an older mum and it fits in and it's a great story, right? So being really creative about that. Don't just go and choose a business name because it's so obvious, right? Think about something that's personal, then your story's done. What else have I got? So optimizing your Facebook page, there are little tricks to it in terms of keywords. Paul's probably more of an expert on that than I am. But really, you know, there are little things about the Facebook page that you need to prepare before you start inviting people and getting people to like it, like having posts on there beforehand so it doesn't look like you've just created it half an hour ago. and you can schedule, you can backdate different posts as well, so it looks like you've been on there for a little while, so it just doesn't look like an amateur. And then learning how to find clients with a Facebook group. So I have a Facebook group that I was playing with 2 years ago. I started a Facebook group and I grew that to 4,000 members almost in about 12 months, maybe less than that. So there are lots of things you can do. You can either grow your own Facebook groups or you can get onto other Facebook groups as well. Facebook groups are great, and I don't know if this is still current, Paul, you can correct me, because it's free for now. So it's really easy to get engagement. You can really get yourself noticed on Facebook group. Because I have that, you know, 3,500 members in my Facebook group. You know, I did have 5,000 friends on Facebook that I've deleted. But people started coming up to me in Hobart and just go, oh my God, Heidi's in the room, or can I get a selfie with you? And, you know, and I'm nobody. So just by having that gives me what does it give me? Influence, yeah. And it gives me social proof, right? So obviously with what I do with business coaching, I got to back it up with what I know, you know, my experience and all that. But immediately people think, oh, well, lots of people are following her and watching her videos. She must know something. So it's really important to think about, and that's all free. So, yeah, we talk about that. And then we also talk about strategies of, well, how do you engage in a Facebook group? So very well to go into someone's Facebook group and start posting crap. And I get a lot of that. I get lots of people posting stuff that are just not very good. And I delete. So how do you get engagement? How do you make it interesting? So people remember you, they keep seeing you. And it's also, you know, the number one mistake in Facebook groups that I see is that people post their own stuff, but they don't comment on other people's stuff. They don't engage content from somebody else, so it's just them posting their stuff. So that, you know, it's really about community and how do you help someone. I think that's the main point in business. It's really about how are you serving the community and how are you helping others, and creating that need. So, and a professional LinkedIn profile. And I think, are you guys all on LinkedIn? Yeah. So I think it's important that we're on LinkedIn. I don't know, Gordon, do you use LinkedIn? You're on there, aren't you? Yeah, you need a profile. Yeah, so LinkedIn is really important because that's when you put your more professional side of yourself out there. The LinkedIn descriptions are interesting. Well, I play with these all the time because obviously I'm not looking for a job, so I just muck around and see what works. You got to be, like with anything online, you got to be really conscious of what is shown immediately. So Paul talked about what's above the fold. Same thing with LinkedIn. They show the first, I think, 20 characters, 30 characters, something like that. So whatever you write in those first sentence has to grab attention. It can't just be, hi, I'm Heidi, I'm a business coach. You know, it has to be, like on mine, I think I wrote something like, you think you know me just by my profile picture. And guess what happens? People go, oh, what's this about? So they go and read my description. And I've had audiologists, I've had MDs from audiology clinics and manufacturers come up to me in audiology conferences, nothing to do with what my LinkedIn profile is about, go, oh my God, I follow you. And I'm like, what the? So, you know, like it's amazing how much time we spend on social media just stalking people. So little tricks like that. And what I'm really, really excited about is how do you create your social media calendar? So this is a content calendar for the next 12 months. There's a really easy way of doing it. You can turn it into a book. So not only do you have that, you can go and publish a book based on your niche. So, and yeah, so that's pretty much what we're covering in the course. So the format of the course, let me go there. So basically it's 6 online modules in video form and worksheets. So I've timed them so that I give you enough time to actually do the work. They're short videos, so no more than 20 minutes for the longest one. They're usually a couple of minutes long, but there's worksheets working out your budget, the business name, just all the back end kind of boring stuff that, I mean, it's exciting for me, but it's probably boring for you, but all the back end stuff, that all those questions that you may have rolling around in your head going, okay, it's fantastic to get my website, but, you know, what are my branding colours? What am I going to, you know, write? What's the copywriting? How do I write an article so it grabs attention? So the little tips and tricks like that. And then we're going to have 6 recorded group coaching sessions, and I've spaced them out. They're mostly on Tuesday nights. So I think in the beginning they're weekly, and then the work that gets a little bit more involved, they are fortnightly, just to give you enough time to actually get things done. The main part of this is being accountable. So, you know, I know you guys are probably all stressed out about assignments as I am, and, you know, probably thinking, oh, I'm going to get my assignments done first. As Paul has said, no, do them both at once. And who was I talking to during the break about having it sitting there and then it being a motivational for you to actually get your assignments done? So once you set up your business, you've got your Facebook page, you've got people engaging with you, it's going to make you do your assignments quicker, because you're going to want to just get that done and get on with it, right, and get out there and provide your services. We're going to have a private Facebook group. So it will just be whoever's in the group, and that's where we're going to be doing our Facebook Live. So I actually set exercises for us to really have fun with it, but to get you used to the camera, to get you used to talking about what you do. And that group is also, you know, if you've got like little questions for me to quickly answer, you know, so it's just a really easy platform for me to then support you further in terms of coaching. So that's pretty much the course. Gordon, did you want to talk about how you're packaging that? Because we...
So what do you guys think of this other offering? So I don't know if you're hearing it.
Thanks, Heidi. I don't know if you're hearing it. You can go off and play with it yourself and work by yourself. That wasn't quite... Yeah, it wasn't. Or you can list Paul and Heidi to help you get started. If you don't want to feel alone in it, I mean, this has been the consistent message we've had over the years. I designed a hypnotherapy course, and by the end of the course, that you being able to do the hypnotherapy probably wasn't your main concern. It became, how do I set up a business? Now, that wasn't my expectation that that would be the trip-up point, because I've been in business for 30 years. I didn't know what I was doing. I worked it out. Not everyone thinks, though, in that way, yeah? Heidi and I were talking about it the other night. I couldn't work for someone else. They wouldn't employ me. They would employ Heidi. Heidi is too individualistic. Yeah, so we would struggle to work for other people these days. The last employer I had technically was the Department of Education. Yeah. So my aim was to make it so that you got a really good chance of getting out there and getting up and running. We can hold your hand at the beginning, or we can do longer term with you as well if that's what you want, but it's up to you, right? And we're trying to make it as affordable as we can without it being ridiculous, where it's costing us money. So here's Heidi's ongoing coaching. So this is separate to what Paul's doing, right? So it is $7.99 for the coaching, but out of that you get the directory listing. because without that, you don't get the other stuff. So that means you get the one-page website. So really, this is really $5.99 in reality. And you can pay for it $49.99 per week times 16. Yeah, I'm right here. So 16 weeks, $50 a week, and Heidi will take you through all the steps of, in many ways, doing what some of the things that Paul was alluding to. So there are particular ways of doing it. If you set up the Facebook page wrong in the first place, then you've got problems down the track. And if you're going to do it together, that might really work for some of you. It might force you to actually do it. One of my concerns is the people who go off by their own, by themselves, and say, I can do it myself, I never see anything. You know, 6 months later, they're still only doing, they still can't work out what they're going to write on the website. It's one of the reasons why Paul and I said, let's make it a one-page website, because you can only do like a paragraph. And then you can't say to us, oh, I don't know what to say. You've got a paragraph to write. Write it. You know, whereas you'll see people agonize, they're leaning towards perfectionism, they'll agonize, and you'll agonize because you don't know what's right. And here's the thing, you've got to put things out there and test it. Either it works or it doesn't. If it doesn't work, you adjust it. It's an ongoing development. Even marketers haven't got a clue most of the time what's going to work and what isn't. You know, we do Facebook ads and some things just don't work. It doesn't get clicked on, so you turn them off. You do try something else. I have not met a marketer yet with how complex digital marketing now is who knows exactly what's going to work and can tell me beforehand. Not one of them seems to know these days. It's a constantly ever-dynamic market. So the more expertise you can enlist, and at $50 a week, if you can't do that, then you're probably in the wrong game anyway. Yeah? Stay doing what you're doing. Yeah? So that's how we've made it as affordable as we can. Weekly payment, there's a link that Brigitte has, so you could basically sign up on that link, and you can you send that link on the WhatsApp, Brigitte? Now, okay. Yeah, so there's only 10 places, all right, because Heidi doesn't want to have 25 people on each coaching course because not everyone's going to get their, you know, their attention they need. So we're limited to 10 people. So it's really whoever's the first 10 people to sign up, yeah? So between Heidi, Paul, and if further down the track, if you want to go into the SEO stuff and that sort of thing, then we can help you with that. That's us doing what we can to support you beyond hypnotherapy. Thoughts? Questions?
It's about 90 minutes to... So I worked out on 10 of you is 10 minutes each, one-on-one in front of everyone. So it's about 90 minutes to about 2 hours. But there's real value in listening in on somebody else's call because you've probably got the same question. Just to kind of fill you in, like normally a group coaching program like this, I'd be charging $2,000 for. So, I mean, like Gordon is just, I don't want to kind of be too sucky here, but he's amazing. Like he's really helping you guys. I didn't have any of this when I started business. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't know any of this stuff. I didn't know, you know, I had to go and learn it all by myself and, you know, there is actually no excuse for not being able to get out there. It's incredible.
So, you know, a lot of time, you know, if someone who's done it, they're the best people to learn from. You know, that's what I'm finding. Even though we've gone through so many digital marketers over the last 3 years, everyone claims to know that what they know, but it's the people who've done it. Like when I watched Heidi on Facebook Live doing something, and I went, "Oh, that was a good point." Then she said something else. I went, "Oh, that was good too," and I shared that post. And then I thought, why don't I just enlist Heidi into this? Because we've been, you know, we've had dinner a couple of times and talked about, you know, what is the major obstacle for people. And there's no point you doing this if you don't get out there. Some of you, I think, are going to be very, very good at this. but you'll need to get going and you'll need to get clients, because if you don't stay in this strategic space, you will lose it, right? Because it's not the way we normally think, right? And the danger is you'll go back to listening to the story and go back to, you know, well, maybe it's because their grandmother or whatever. If you stay with it, you know, the key is you've got to get out there. And hypnotherapy needs good people. Seriously. You know, I keep looking at Nick because you're the one who knows what's out there. And hypnotherapy needs good people. If we're going to be taken seriously, the fact that Peabody is going to try and talk to government, we are in deep shit, because most, even half the people in the Peabody, I've got to be careful what I say here, but ultimately,
turn the camera off,
but ultimately you've got to find what, we've got to find ways of getting effective people who actually even think about the possibility of evidence, who are mostly going to focus on just getting an outcome and not get caught up in all that other stuff. We need you guys out there, yeah, because this is a field that I love, and I want to, I want, my aim is, no matter where you are in Australia, the top two, page one and page two at least of Google is our people. That's how you change the face of hypnotherapy in this country, is that you guys are the lead. And in all truth, it's not that hard, because most of them are terrible marketers. They're, you know, their 10-year-old put together their website for them. Go online and have a look at it. You know, they've got diabolical websites because they don't want to get involved in that sort of thing. Well, you need to be more professional, and if you are, you've got a good chance, better in this field than almost any other, because, you know, therapists generally are pretty poor marketers, I have to say. But if you can be a little bit more savvy with it, and that's why I thought, you know, Heidi knows stuff I don't know. Better that she can do it. I'll stay with what I know. Heidi can do what she knows. Paul does what he knows. And between us, we maybe can do something for you. Yeah?
But if you go out and get some therapy, I've done it just to see what's out there. I've paid $220 to listen to a kid screaming in the background while I'm in like a hearing position, and he's taking like 6 stairs on stage. That's what I've paid. But anyone to get into the top 10%, maybe top 10%, like that's 10, 15 years with the top 10%, that's what I paid for, and that's what I've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 2 months ago, just to see what was up. And she was supposed to be really good. It was advertised on Facebook by this other woman. And, you know, and I'm so trying out, and that's what I got.
It's not surprising, but there's an office
at home, kids screaming in the background.
Sound effects to go with it. As you hear my child having a slight embolism, you can relax into this even more deeply now and be thankful that you're not me. You think your life is crap. What about mine? Listen to this freaking child in the background. Shut the hell up. You're doing good.
Come into the frame. So with pricing, don't be afraid to charge more, because you can always drop your prices later. And I full on agree with Gordon about charging more, giving more value. So just to tell you a little story, when I went down to buy this hearing business, then if you guys Google hearing, I don't know, even probably some of you have had phone calls from hearing centres. Yeah, Bill's laughing. You know, trying to get you in for a free hearing test. And I went to my husband and I said, you know what? I didn't go to 6 years of uni and get my degrees to freaking give my services away for free. I'm going to charge $100 for the hearing test. I'm not doing them for free anymore. I'm sick of people walking in going, where's my hearing going? And they've got normal hearing. They take up 2 hours of my time. And my husband's like, are you nuts?
people are going to stop coming, you know. I go, look, let me do it for 3 months. If it doesn't work out, we can go back to doing it for free. 3 months later, well, in fact, when I sold my business, and again, I know I'm being videotaped, when I sold my business, 40% of our revenue came from hearing tests. So, you know, like, and people would, we got better quality clients. People would ring up and say, well, why are you not free? And then we can say, well, look at all these degrees. And look, we're specialists down here. We're not just any audiologist. We're the best two audiologists in the country. We got better clients. Those clients converted. They actually were interested in their hearing, interested in doing something. So don't be afraid to charge more, because you can always drop it down or run promotions or whatever.
Yeah, and if you don't want to do a, if you want to do a seniors rate or something else, you can. You know, if that's what you feel like you need to do. You know? But the big thing for you guys, here's what I think. Some people think it's a self-esteem thing about whether how much you charge. That's not it. It comes down to how do you manage conflict. That's really it. How do you manage confrontation? If you're thinking, if you want to spend this much, you got to charge this much money, are you going to actually amplify the risk of confrontation? Well, the short answer is no, that's not how people work. Put on your website. I'm very clear. I say, on my website, I'll say, I'm double the price of the average hypnotherapist. And there's a reason for that. That's how I sell it. Yeah? What I can do in an hour significantly outweighs what most hypnotherapists can do it. And here's why. Okay? You need to come up with your version of it. You know, you're trained in a unique model. You right now, you don't know how unique it is. But in 6 months from now, many of you will come back to me and say, now I get it. Because you would have been out there and seeing what other people are doing. So you are going to be worth a lot of money to people. You're going to save jobs. You're going to save marriages. Some of you will save lives. You know, just go out and do the work. But you need to make sure you're not, you know, the only people you're helping are, you don't want to, so all the only people you're helping are others and your own family struggles because you don't want to charge fully. Yeah? You got your own families to look after. You got super. You got all those things that you need to cover off. So you should earn a decent living out of hypnotherapy. Otherwise, you would step back out of it again. Really, that's it. You know, for me, I would want you to, or every one of us here, to be earning six figures minimum. That's how you should be. There is enough search for it. And if we are the dominant factor on every page of Google, the first few pages, then there's no reason why you can't. There are some people, some are graduates. I got one who's charging $4,500 a package. He's doing something like 12 sessions, $4,600, I think he's telling me what he's doing. And he's just stringing it out. He's making sure they're covering off every single pillar. As he told me, I was not quite convinced it was all about the client, but hey, he's maxed out. He's got plenty of clientele. Why? Because he's sufficiently convincing that that's the way to do it. Yeah? So the people don't know what hypnotherapy is. They don't know how you rate compared to others. If you do good work for them, they will rate you. They'll recommend you. And the price doesn't matter that much. Are there some people going to be precluded from coming to see you because you're $300 an hour? Yes, there will be some. But those same people probably won't pay $100 either. But they'll spend, you know, $600 a month on their mobile phone. Yeah. So it comes down to do they value your service or not? Really, that's it. So remember, you're going into this to make a living. Helping people is a byproduct of that. You need to run it that way. If you're going, oh, this is all about other people, you're not going to set the goals that you need to set. You know, does that make sense? Heidi kind of reminded me of this the other day. Those of you going to do the coaching, she's going to make sure you've got your head right around that and set the goals in an appropriate order and sequence so you don't get caught up. It's easy just in the treadmill by yourself to just forget why you started this. And start to, you know, do a lot of good for people and then find at the end of the year you haven't really made anything very much out of it. That's not useful. That means, you know, you'll be the one who opts out and someone who's just good on the marketing, and they could be crap as a therapist, they'll still be here next year. And they'll be seeing all the people that you don't see. So you actually do damage, if you're any good, you do damage to the industry by not being effective in the marketing side of things. Because people don't get to see you. Someone else does, who, there are some schools, you know, one of the schools you went to, they were big on the marketing side. Those people started to punctuate the web really strongly, but were they any good? A lot of them got taken to fair trading, a lot of them, yeah. But that's what that course gave you, a really strong marketing piece. So business in a box. So best marketer wins.